Welcome to Process Breakdown, where we get proven and successful entrepreneurs to reveal step by step what's currently working behind the scenes in their businesses. Sit back, relax, and take notes as you discover how today's guest has been able to systematize their entire business so that it runs successfully without their constant involvement, like a well-oiled machine on overdrive. And here is your host.
Hi, my name is Owen McGavin, and welcome to episode 31 of the Process Breakdown Podcast. In this interview, you will discover the step-by-step email marketing process that transforms your email leads into customers. My guest reveals a proven system that you can use to create relevant targeted email messages that will get you more sales. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor. Are you tired of being the bottleneck in your business? Do you want to get everything out of your head and document step by step how you get tasks done so your employees know what you know? Then sign up for a free 14-day trial or Sweet Process. And now, let's get started with the interview. My guest today is Daniel Fajila, and he's the founder of CLV Boost, which is a boutique marketing automation and strategic email marketing consultancy. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Owen. Glad to be here, brother.
So let's get right in, and you know, before we even start the show, let's tell the listeners what they will discover by listening to this entire interview.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, today, I really, you and I had kind of chatted back and forth via email even beforehand. I know marketing and systemization is a big emphasis on your own end. Today, we're going to talk about a little bit of the four quadrants of email marketing and marketing automation that we like to focus on, which is the collecting of leads, the connecting with them, converting them into sales, and then focusing on lifetime value and sort of circulating messages, newsletters, things like that. So we're gonna try to touch on all the bases today and make sure that people have actionable steps to plug into their business no matter what they sell.
And so what would you say is like a mind-blowing result that you or some of your clients have gotten by implementing your new process of email marketing?
Yeah, big time. One of the first sort of kickoffs for us was I was running a small town martial arts gym in order to pay for grad school. So I was at University of Rhode Island in a very small town of only about 8,000 people. And I ended up getting into UPenn for grad, and I could have gotten a job, but I decided to run a small martial arts gym in my town. Turns out that's kind of a bad idea because there's only 8,000 people there. But I still got the thing to about 100 students with marketing automation. But the bigger kind of mind-blowing stuff that really kicked me into full gear in terms of implementing this for other people's businesses was we use the same systems of follow-up and segmentation to build a $35,000 a month learn jujitsu online business. Wow. And that was really by segmenting front-end customers, determining what they really were there for and their major goals, appealing to them with specific courses and programs and membership models, and then having really good upsells in the back end. And just we took the time on the front end to build it. And when we let the machine go, it was like 5 months in, we were at 17 grand a month.
Wow.
And I realized, like, man, I need to automate more. So we started doing it for other customers and clients. Now, since I moved up to Cambridge, we work with a lot of startup companies and software folks. But that was the real first kickoff was, 5 months in, and I was making as much as I was making in my physical gym. And I was working on this thing for years online just by turning on the traffic and making sure the back end was really well automated. So that was definitely a light bulb.
Wow. And so why is the old way of email marketing not working anymore?
Yeah, I think, that's a good question, Owen. There's sort of two ways that the old way of email marketing goes. And I don't want to necessarily hate on anybody out there who's doing these particular things. I'm sure if anybody who was the world champion of SEO, went into the back of my website, they'd be like, oh, you don't know what you're doing with SEO. So for email, this is just my area of focus. So But I'll tell you right now, generally speaking, email is done in one of two ways in terms of the old way. So the old way is either just pure broadcast messages or one vanilla sequence. So here's what a vanilla sequence is. A vanilla sequence is no matter who I am, how I get in touch with your business, what I'm interested in, what my major goals or values are, what benefits I'm seeking, no matter how I opt in to learn more from you, I get the exact same string of emails over and over and over. So yeah, I could be, let's say I was chatting it up today with a software company that is a productivity kind of a software type company, more for domestic stuff. It's not for work. It's more like, you know, grocery list, to-do.
Personal stuff, yeah.
Friends, yeah, yeah. And, you know, and they have a lot of folks who are actually teachers, like high school and college teachers is really kind of caught on with that crowd. They also have folks that are spouses that really, they juggle grocery lists back and forth and things along those lines. And then they do have, you know, some work teams that kind of use this for organizing some stuff out of work that's like a little bit less formal or whatever. So those are some of their major, you know, major demos and the folks that are avatars and the folks that are using their stuff. But, you know, even now, when you opt in for a free trial with these guys, you will get the same, you know, whatever it is, 12 emails, no matter what benefit it is. Whether you are trying to, you know, keep a relationship up with your, you know, students in a college or high school setting, or whether you're looking to juggle grocery lists with your spouse, you'll get the same use cases, the same education, the same testimonials, the same calls to action,
yeah.
When in fact, there's sort of like different things to appeal to for those folks. Like the folks who are married and they're going to use this in a household, they want to see examples of how parents and kids or two spouses have sort of used this. And it's a younger crowd. It's just like married couples who are in their 30s, early 30s, generally speaking, kind of tech savvy folks. So, you know, why don't we have, you know, videos of those kind of people doing the kind of use cases that are useful here? You know, they don't need to know about the kind of at-work functionality if they've explicitly said they don't want it. If the best way to get stick rate, the best way to keep them plugged in on this app is to make sure we're educating them on all the useful stuff that's relevant to them. But again, the vanilla way of doing it is no matter who you are, no matter where you find us, no matter what you're interested in, no matter what your benefits are, you get the exact same sequence. And that, to be frank, is rather antiquated. So that's you know, the reason it's outdated is because the ability to branch off and to make email more relevant and have a much higher ROI is so easy now with all the technology. So, you know, since 5 years ago, that stuff has got to be dinosaur times. It's over now.
Wow. And I must say, I used to think I talk very fast, but with you, woof, it's like a rush. I love
I don't that. Talk about that. Everybody tells me that.
So what? Let me go to the next question. So
okay.
What is your new process for email marketing? I know it's like based on like a framework of four steps, and so let's just touch them real quick.
Cool. So anybody can think of their business through this framework. I know, Owen, the big thing for me is stuff that people can think about for their own biz. So anybody can break down what they're doing in terms of email and automation into these four steps. So I'm going to go over them real briefly. So collecting is the acquisition of leads or new customers. Some people do customers on the front end. Most people do leads on the front end. So we use the example of leads, although e-commerce pretty much the same thing. We're looking at now front-end conversion rates. So if you have, let's say, a web form and a free thing that people can download, are we split testing the button? Are we split testing the placement of the web form? Are we offering different things on the front end and seeing which ones catch on the most in which locations or to which lead sources? Is there optimization for acquisition? If there isn't, there's a big opportunity to get more. So that's a big factor of collection. The next step for us is connection. So connection is building a bond with the folks that you just got to opt in. So now that they're a lead, we want them to open their emails, and you know this as for being a marketer, Owen, and we were talking off mic about kind of marketing principles, but they want to get a message and say, this is for me. They want it to be relevant. It shouldn't be, you know, like, oh, this is the message they send to everybody. It should be, wow, this is for me. Now, one of the ways that we do that in the connection phase is thinking about segmentation. So can, you know, if we were to break up, let's say you're selling a business-to-business software and, you know, the use cases for this software are going to be very different for a company of 1 to 5 people, a company of 6 to 20, a company of 21 to 100, and a company of 100 plus. You know, you have case studies of each type, but really your communication is going to have to be specific to how big they are because that's going to determine what they can use. Well, what we can do in the connection phase is either in our first email or right there on the opt-in form, we can say, hey, now that you're with us, let us know how big your company is because we can really show you how to make the most of blank, 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 or we can give you the most helpful steps for blank, blank, blank. You can either do that right on the opt-in, which I recommend, or you can parse them out over the course of the first 2 or 3 emails and really coax that out of them. Hey, click which one is most relevant for you. Are you a 1 to 5 person company, blah, blah, blah. And then we're going to talk about conversion. So we went collection, connection, and now conversion. Now, when we convert, if you convert without connection, generally speaking, it can come across as pretty abrasive. So if people feel like they're getting sold, but you're not talking to them or what they care about, it's a little bit rough. So if we use a software example, let's say HubSpot, which is a very popular marketing automation company here in Cambridge, or just using them as an easy example. If I tell them I'm a 1-to-5 person company, and they send me an email sequence and a sequence of cool use cases and videos about very small companies that are doing wonders with HubSpot, doing amazing. You know, here's how this little mom and pop shop here, here's how this tiny startup company got out of the basement. Here's how, you know, and they show me all these great examples of how even with one guy, with the founder using it, their software can be amazing. That's stuff that's going to connect with me. And then when they make the conversion pitch, which for them is on the phone, for other people is right on e-commerce, that call to action is now going to be received better. And what we need to do now is we need to split test the call to action. What is the phone script? What is the sales page? What is the text in the email that's driving them to the sales page? All of those things can be tweaked and refined, and we can build an automated system that's more effective. So anyone who has a business out there, you can think about conversion that way as well. Are you testing those factors? If not, you know, make a to-do and go check those boxes, because that's stuff that's really going to matter in your bottom line. And then lastly here, Owen, we talk about circulation. So circulation is actually a term from the kind of the catalog marketing world. And this has to do with the circulation of more broadcast-type messages. Most people refer to this as blast messages. So how are we using sort of monthly, weekly, quarterly-type, you know, updates or releases or offers and rotating them to different subsegments of our list to vet out new business, to not just say, you know, a lot of people have these circulation emails like, blank, blank software, February update. Hey, we were featured in this website and we gave a presentation here. It's going really well. Thank you. Here's a link to our Facebook page. You know, just like boring. There's no ROI. There's no anything. So we focus on turning newsletters into money makers, into something that not only encourages engagement with your blog, with your site, with whatever it is, but if they're current customers, we want those newsletters to actually be secretly focusing on retention. If
and upsells too, right?
What did you say?
And upsells as well. Yeah.
Everything is a sales tool. Everything is marketing. And if they're not customers and they're getting a broadcast, the secret call to action in that message, whether it's in the blog post and the email itself, should be to buy. So we need to think about how circulation is rotating to our different lists so that we're always squeaking the most out, even in the long term, from existing customers and prospects. So thinking through collection, connection, conversion, circulation are sort of the four phases that we rotate through in our business. And again, anybody can put on those goggles and look at their very own business through those lenses. Very helpful to think about it that way.
So I'm glad you've given us like an overview of the framework, the four steps,
yes.
And let's dive right into the first one. So what exactly, and let's get as much details as we can, what exactly is the, you know, collecting or acquiring leads part of the email marketing process?
Yeah, for sure. So what we're looking at here is, again, how we can maximally, bring people into our list or get people subscribed. So the real basis here are, you know, let's look at some essential examples. So it might be if we have a sign up for our blank on our front page, are we split testing what the blank is? If it says, you know, enter here for our newsletter, A, that's just bad marketing and people need to change it, just period. Have a legitimate call to action and let's rotate those, let's test those, let's see what works better.
And real quick, how do we determine what that call to action should be or what that offer should be?
Got it. Great. Okay. So let's say, you know, we'll use a business, recently we worked with a chain of physical therapy clinics in the United Kingdom. So what these folks have, he's got a website and on one of their landing pages, it's really all about knee pain. So he deals with a lot of knee pain folks. So what he has for knee pain, what's going to get somebody to opt in general, anyone out there can ask themselves this exact question. What short, digestible chunk of content can I deliver to my prospect that will instantly give them benefits and show them that I'm an expert in what I'm talking about? So in his example, that could be video, it could be audio, it could be text, and you can test those. But in his example, it is an ebook for relieving knee pain. So he talks about some exercise and circulation stuff. He talks about hydration. He talks about different factors like that. I haven't gone into all the details, but it's something designed to be helpful. He could have done a short three-video series on diet and hydration and other things that could help with their knee pain as well, or what kind of companies make the best braces or whatever else. Either way, it has to be short and digestible. So the the quote-unquote things that get someone to opt in, the calls to action, are generally short, digestible chunks of information. They're going to instantly benefit people. Nobody wants to opt in for an encyclopedia. Nobody does. You say, hey, we have a 500-page soup-to-nuts human physiology textbook, and in here you can actually go into the exact nerves, and nobody wants it. But if you say, hey, I have a, you know, in this quick four-page white paper, we actually cover the three biggest irritators to knee pain that very few people even realize are, you know, the heart of the matter. And in this ebook, you'll be able to bop. People like that it's four pages. They like that it's short and it's digestible. Generally, you see higher conversions with those kind of things. Now, of course, you have to let them know that there's also a newsletter. So, you know, hey, by the way, if you don't want to hear from us anymore, all you have to do is click a button and you can get rid of us. But I hope that this is going to be helpful and we'll teach you more about knee pain.
I'm thinking to myself, it's another way of thinking of this, like, okay, whatever that big pain your product or your software or your company or your service offers people as a solution, think of the quickest and easiest way you can give them like a bite-sized solution that regardless of whether they use
totally.
You or whatever,
right.
That should be the content. It's like you're going to one of all these stores where they, like, you know, like Sam's Clubs or whatever, and you can see a taste, you know, you walk by them and you see of the samples, so you can taste and see how it tastes first.
This is true. Yes. And that's very much, I mean, there's a lot of analogies. There's the food analogy, there's the dating analogy, right? You know, you want to go to a dinner before you try, you know, we've all been there in college and whatnot. There's a lot of analogies to draw, but that's a very apt one to think about. Is also, you know, what is the biggest pain they're struggling with, and what's a bite-sized solution that will give them some benefits and also increase your credibility in their eyes. And of course, now that's your connection point. Now, one thing that's important to do, and anybody out there who's listening should be doing, is what are multiple and/or different versions of that you can supply people with. If you look at a company that does this really well, again, we could go back to HubSpot. There's plenty of other ones. But
is that like personas that you're talking about now?
Personas, yeah. So you can appeal to different personas, but you can also appeal to different benefits. So one of the factors of collection that a lot of people neglect, so neglect to collect, is where people are finding them. So one way, Owen, that you can determine what someone wants out of your product or service or what really interests them is you can let them tell you, and that's by providing a drop-down or a radio button. Hey, what hurts on your body? Is it your knee? Do you have back pain or do you have neck pain? This is what we help with. Boom, they select it. Now that helps determine what email sequence we kick off. The other way, Owen, is what we call situational parsing. So situational parsing is if I'm on this physiology website, and I'm learning about all these different people that might treat my knee pain, and I'm reading a knee pain blog, then at the bottom of that knee pain blog, if there is an opt-in, I already know that should be a knee pain opt-in. It shouldn't be a back pain or a general pain one. That should be because if you read to the bottom, I know who you are, pal, and I know why you're here. Same thing with if you're selling software. If the fellow I was telling you about, he's selling this software and he has an entire article about how college teachers and high school teachers have hacked their productivity and been able to get messages out to their students quicker by doing these three simple tricks. Then at the bottom, that opt-in is going to be for teachers and instructors. It's going to be for exactly who's going to read that. So he doesn't even have to give them a drop-down. He lets them opt in for what resonates with them. It could be benefit. It could be role. It could be their major problem. It doesn't matter. You can situationally parse by whatever criterion will help you sell.
Can you combine that together to say, okay, the role of the person, the situation, and the pain? How do you do that? I'm just curious.
Yeah, you can. So here's the question. The question I like to ask, Owen, in terms of initial segmentation, generally speaking, if you ask too much information on the front end, you're going to have a hard time getting signups.
Yeah.
The second issue is, generally speaking, most companies don't want to write 34 front-end sequences.
Yeah.
They want to be able to boil it down to 7, so they have to distill it. So here's a way that we can think about that, Owen. The question is, oh, man, you know, do we do role? Do we do benefit? Do we do size of company? God, there's so many different – you're right. And we can always poll them after they opt in and ask them those questions, and we can use that data in different ways. But what I like to ask companies is this, Owen. I would ask this of you. I would ask this to anybody who's listening, is if I am on your website and I give you my name and I give you my email, what other single individual data point would help you sell me the most? Is it the size of my company? Is it the problem I'm struggling with? Is it the role of myself in my company or what kind of company I run? What is the data point? Tell me the data point, and that is essentially what the buy button is going to be. And I'm going to push that buy button over and over and over, and that's how I'm going to get people to take action. So let me give you a situation where role was actually most important, Owen. So just to go with your question, because I think it's a very good one, and a lot of people underthink their front-end segmentation. This is like, strategically, if you get this wrong, this will very much not do fantastic things for your business. If you get this right, you're hitting the nail on the head with every email, and you're seeing higher open rates on everything you're sending. So one situation where role is relevant, we worked with a consulting company in the crowdfunding space. So go figure, there's people selling $35,000 gigs on doing filming projects and funky stuff like that. They're a small consultancy, but it's a big ticket item. Yeah. And now we realize that the people that are buying from them, Owen, fit into essentially, the people that are buying from them all want to do crowdfunding. Some of them have a project in health and beauty and fitness, whatever it is. Okay, there's a million different kinds of projects. But they decided not to go by what kind of project, fitness, health, whatever. They went by role, and here's why. Because the three types of people that were buying from them, and this involves knowledge about your customer, is number one, entrepreneurs. Number two, content creators. And number three, marketing agencies. Entrepreneurs want their invention or product to blow up so they can make money. Content creators are excited to share their cause. They're excited to convey their art. They're excited to build a project, right? Some meaning, some purpose. And the marketing agency wants to bring them on board as a kind of a white label solution. So the marketing agency looks like they're film experts when really they never hire a film person. They just kind of pay this company on the back end. Now, you market to each one of those people very differently when you're trying to get them to open their wallet. So what they needed to do in order to get these people to convert into phone appointments is segment their front-end communication by role, not by is this fitness, is this beauty, is this whatever. So it's a strategic decision, Owen. Is that clear?
Yeah. So basically determine your type of customer and figure out what is the best way to go after them. Is it by role? Is it by, what's the other two?
I'm skipping. Benefit.
Role, benefit, or what?
So size of company. There's a million different criteria, but generally speaking, we're talking about, you know, role, benefit, major problem, industry, it could be, things along those lines. You just have to think about, if I only had one category of data point, what would be the one that would help me sell the most?
Awesome. And so look, before we even end the segment on the collection part, let's talk about two things. First of all, what are the common errors, the front-end funnel errors that you see?
Yeah, great. So again, with the consulting company I was talking about, you know, one of the front end errors was they were only giving people one vanilla option. So a common error is, hey, you know, you can opt in or you can not opt in. That's the only data I know about you. All I know is your email address, pal. You're getting the same message as everybody. That's a mistake. Generally speaking, there are better options, and the technology makes it so darn easy to do that. Another common mistake, Owen, is when people are not split testing whatever their front end offer is. So we're working with an apparel company, and they have kind of they're actually a printing company. So they kind of do the printing for apparel folks, and they work with nonprofits or businesses or bands, whatever. And they have an initial kind of interstitial ad that pops up when people land on their site, and they weren't really testing it. They just sort of had this opt-in thing. And so another, you know, common error is not testing. So what we did with them is we split test kind of a free T-shirt, just pay shipping offer with a coupon. And we found that in general, folks are converting higher on this new offer, this T-shirt thing. So shucks, that's our new control. And now we can test against that. But they would have never gotten beyond, you know, a 3% front-end conversion rate, 2% front-end conversion rate, if we hadn't tested something different. So that's another very common mistake.
During the pre-interview, you mentioned the thank you page error as well as the first email error. Let's talk about those two.
Yeah, the thank you page error and the first email error. So these are really big. Another thing that'll happen in the collection phase, and obviously we could go on with this for days. I'm going to really, really make it short here.
Yeah.
If you have a blank thank you page or you don't have a thank you page, you have a problem. So, you know, if I sign up on someone's website, they have a little opt-in at the right, and it says, you know, sign up for blank, 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 and I enter it, and, you know, a little green box appears underneath the opt-in form, and it says, thanks, you know, or we got your email. That's generally speaking not best practice, and in fact, I would argue with essentially anybody that would think that is good practice, because that person just made a step forward. They just tippy-toed closer to your business. We now want to take them to a page where, if nothing else, and I mean nothing else, now I prefer things other than this, but if you're freaking lazy and you're listening to this, then the thing you take them to is an explicit CTA page on where to find your email in their inbox and how to whitelist you. If you're bored and lazy and a terrible marketer,
yeah.
Do that for crying out freaking loud. Because if you're sending them to a blank page, it's like, thank you, got email. Like, what do you? There needs to be an explicit. We need to be helping them along this process. So if they just opted in for, let's say, a coupon code on baby supplies for an e-com company, well, you know, why don't we give them the coupon code right on the page and already, you know, forward them right along to our top three selling categories of baby supplies? So it's like, oh, okay, great. Hey, you know, which category are you most interested in? You can use that code right now. Why don't we do that? Or let's say it's a free trial for a software. Well, if it's a free trial for a software, I mean, is there some semblance of initial training video that's going to be most useful for these people? Is there some semblance of initial use case based on what they've told us? Now, again, that goes to segmentation. Based on what they've told us, that's going to immediately make this software connect to their goals. Can we forward them right to that as soon as they sign up for the free trial? Why do they have to go to their inbox, remember to open it, go into spam if it ended up there, open that in order to get educated? We should be moving them along the buyer's journey right on the thank you page. So that is a very big, big, commonly overlooked area of email marketing as well.
Let me also share real quick an example of what we personally use at Sweet Process. Is after someone signs up for our checklist, which is a free course that they, you know, like an opt-in PDF that they get, yep, immediately after that, we take them to a thank you page and ask them, oh, do you have a moment to check out Sweet Process? And literally send them to a page where they can learn about Sweet Process and also opt-in for the free trial. Hey!
Boom. I mean, hey, if nothing else, I mean, worst comes to worst, even if it's not tailored or targeted, I mean, at least you're putting it in front of them. You know, a certain percentage of people are going to convert right away. Maybe not everybody does, but at least you can say, cool, hey, if you're interested in the checklist, we have a software that, you know, automates it. So, you know, you'd have to tie it to the checklist.
Yeah.
But if you can at least relate the benefit, I mean, hey, it's better than a white page that says thank you, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly.
One of the, before we end this segment on collection, what of the first email error?
Yeah. So another thing with first email error that's relatively common is subject lines that aren't making it obvious who it is or what it is or whatever else. Generally speaking, you know, you don't want to say, hey, you know, Bill's Automotive thing here in every email you do. But if someone just connected to you, it shouldn't be confusing. It shouldn't say, you know, like, cool, here's your new whiz bat, you know, a really big, like razzmatazz. Generally speaking, razzmatazz off the bat is a little bit of a push off, and oftentimes is not even going to get opened as often as something that's like, you know, thanks for learning about our, you know, here is your free, you know, whatever the thing is, like very explicit, like you connected with us, here is what you got. So first email, usually we want to flag them in a very sort of forward way that lets them know, you know, you signed up for this and it's here. It shouldn't be confusing. It shouldn't be, you know, like a so casual that it tries to look like it's from their best friend or something. It's not like that's wrong, but generally first email wise subject line, we usually want to make it really relevant and connect right to that same darn part of their brain that found you online. You know, same company name, same thing they opted in for. We want to make that connection hyper logical because the open rate on that first email is often very indicative of the open rate of number 2, 3, 4, 5. So if we can jack the open rate on email number 1 by, you know, not being kind of mysterious or something, or by actually split testing, then we can generally see much bigger results. So a lot of people kind of go with whiz bang. They use all caps. They use exclamation points, things like that, that are going to get them thrown in the spam filter. We want to go with safe kind of white hat best practices, at least for email 1, because that open rate is going to be indicative for everything else that happens. Generally, there's a very big correlation there.
So let's jump right into what exactly the connecting part, which is the segment and qualify part of the email marketing process.
Sure. So here, and again, you know, the four quadrants that we talk about, I mean, it's not like this was written in some kind of, you know, book in the 1800s that was passed down. This is just a process that we use with customers, right?
Yeah.
So we like to be thorough, and we sort of have a little bit of a unique approach. But it is a useful framework just for the folks who are out there that we do with CLV Boost. But connecting, so we talked a bit about connecting in the collecting phase because there's inevitably overlap across the board, and there should be. They should blend rather well. So mm-hmm. This has to do with the segmentation part of things. And now let's use an example of a kind of company where we want to qualify leads before we get them on the phone. So
for appointments, right? So appointments is the conversion things.
Yeah, appointments. Okay. So some people, it's e-com purchases, right? Mm-hmm. I sell things, so me personally, I sell things in e-commerce, and I also sell things on the phone. I also sell things in person. So in my in-person and phone stuff, it's all about initial phone appointment, initial appointment, whatever. In my e-com, it's all about order form, e-commerce page, whatever.
Can you throw in a software company in the truth? That way we have three different examples for this segment.
What'd you say?
Oh, I was thinking on one part is the company that maybe have a high ticket item and they're trying to sell appointments, right?
Yeah.
So they can close them by sale. And the other company is an e-commerce that wants to get you to buy something.
E-commerce.
And then the third one is a company that maybe is offering free trial.
Yeah, free trial, yeah.
Of their software. Yeah. Yep. So let's talk about those three companies in this segment.
Got it. Okay, in the connection phase. Great. So okay, let's talk about e-commerce first. So let's say that I told you I'm into, I'm looking for baby supplies. I mean, I don't know, but there's a lot of people that have kids these days and they got to buy stuff for them. So I sell baby supplies. Now, one of the things that you should probably be getting from parents who are signing up for something like that is this a boy? Is this a girl? Or do we have both?
Yeah.
Because presumably I'm going to be sending you to the stuff that looks blue and not pink if you got a boy. And that's probably going to up my conversion that fast.
Yeah.
So if the order form is boy stuff, and if the pages I'm sending you is boy stuff, then automatically more money comes out the other end. And generally in e-commerce, people like money. It kind of like helps them with bills and employees, all sorts of different things. So an easy segmentation connection factor is actually just – and again, connection is really like doing your homework. You know, are we sending things that people care about? Am I sending them to the bonnets and Barbie dolls section, email number 4, when really if I knew anything about them, if I was connecting genuinely – that wouldn't happen. So that might be one area, that kind of connection would lead to a higher e-com purchase. If it's baby supplies, a potential segmentation strat would be, are we talking about a boy, a girl, or do we have both? Do we have more than one child? At which case, if you have more than one child, I know I can start to move you towards bulk offers. I can start talking about diapers and masks. I can start talking about, bigger deals on, entire clothing sets and things like that. You know, things that a parent really needs to clean a dirty house when you got more than one kid. I'm a twin myself, so I know that we really wreak havoc in my poor parents' house when they're little. So, you might want to move more towards that stuff. So that would allow you to immediately target your e-com offers towards what someone with a boy, what someone with a girl, what someone with multiple children is most likely to buy. And let's put that in front of them first. So that would be very helpful for an e-com example. Now, if we're talking about appointments, let's use appointments, okay? So CLV Boost, I'm actually, we're rebuilding our entire front end because we're going to be doing the segmentation in video. We've actually got a pretty fancy software where we're going to be using branching videos to let people segment themselves.
So we lost connection and we're back. And you were talking specifically about how do you connect with the example of you have a business where you're trying to make sales via appointments. So continue from there, please.
For sure. Yeah. So with CLV Boost, our company here, we're redoing our entire front end. But the way that we're going to be segmenting is not initially by size of company, although we're going to get that data because we're looking to work with progressively bigger and bigger folks. But is initially actually by their major metric mover. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean by that, interestingly enough, you and I are talking about it. Are they interested in increasing e-com purchases and retention? Are they interested in appointments and, phone and in-person sales? Or are they interested in engagement? Because a lot of people in the app world, including the guy I was talking to this morning, who's just kind of a buddy, he's in the app space. It's really just more about engagement. He's not going to sell initially. They just need usership. They need stickiness. They need retention from an engagement standpoint. So what is the core metric mover that they really care about? Or is it a combination thereof / they don't know? That will be one of the options. They're not going to be forced to pick. So when we initially parse them out that way, the way that we're aim to get them on the phone is we're going to speak to kinds of companies that use that kind of thing as their core metric mover. And we might use different business sizes if we haven't been able to collect that data, or we might also resonate on the size of their company as well. But we'll talk about, in order to get them to the phone, we'll talk about, here's how we helped, these people. Here's some case studies of, somebody else in e-com and some numbers and stats of how we helped them improve. Here's, some easy tricks for encouraging retention and whatever else. And the call to action is, all these other folks in the e-commerce world have really gotten so much out of our, what it is that we've done. Submit your project here to CLV Boost, and we'll look forward to catching up with you in person. So the way that we're coaxing the appointment is not like, hey, here's 50 different benefits. It's like, boom, you told me that what you want out of automation email is e-com. Well, here's how all these other people have made more money because we got them more purchases. So, you know, let's talk sometime. That's really the call to action. It's not so much like, you know, here's a smorgasbord of random things that we could do and we'll do a little song and dance for you. You know, would you like an appointment? It's more of, you know, okay, so that's what you care about. Well, here's how we help. Here's how we help. And, you know, we'd like to talk to you about that specifically because your kind of company, you know, we definitely resonate with. Same thing if they're also a consultancy sale, which means they're selling on the phone or they're selling in person. In other words, it's appointment, not e-com. In that case, then we're going to be more speaking specifically to how we've been able to drive phone appointments. So, you know, hey, here's a company that, you know, they were in the, you know, we could use the crowdfunding folks. You know, they were giving everybody the same sequence and we let them segment out so that entrepreneurs would get this message, marketing agencies would get this one, and content creators would get this one. And, you know, here's how we were able to get them on the phone more often or set them up with more relevant messaging so they could get more phone appointments and make more sales. So we'll speak to them about the metric mover for them. So for a consulting sale, which is what I sell at CLV Boost, the benefit I offer, I got to talk to somebody. I have to customize what I do to how we help their business. I don't sell it in a box. In that case, you know, I'm going to give them relevant education, and the call to action is, here's other folks like you that I've helped, and here's why, you know, you might want to get on the
list. And I'm curious, too, like, you know, I get how getting them onto the email list and giving them something as a solution, like maybe like an opt-in that they can chew on and they can get the solution on their own. But now, based on the additional data they gave you, you are giving them a tailored sequence that's tailored to them. But then the listener to this might be saying, okay, but, you know, where do I start with the tailoring of the sequence? Do you get the question I'm asking? Because it can be like a long rabbit hole with different...
Yeah. The distinction there, you know, we're talking about connection. You know, I'm talking right now about connection based on a kind of core metric mover of your business. So how okay. I segment isn't... I'm not segmenting by someone's role. I'm not segmenting by someone's size of company. Not initially. But what I'm doing initially is the core... or benefit or the core metric mover of your business. In other words, what's going to ultimately make you the most bucks and make your business the most successful if I increase which of these three things, or is it all or you're not sure? And then, of course, I'll have an all or you're not sure option. When you're talking about, you know, do I build the sequence or do I determine the segmentation? You must determine the segmentation first, and you and I had already talked about that. The question there is, what one data point, if you knew it, would allow you to sell the most relevantly and communicate the most meaningfully? Generally, I like that to be between 3 and 7 options, not 55. So if it is 55, we've got to find a way to clump them down so that that drop-down menu is viewable in a mobile phone and or is reasonable if someone's on a desktop.
Well, I think that's good, but that was not really my question. It was more about, like, now you figured out what that big selling pain point is that you got them to segment themselves. But I'm talking about the actual content that goes in over the period of days, you know, how do you do that? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, got it. So what are we sending them? What is that content? Why do we send it in that order? That kind of
stuff.
Great. So, and this is all about a connection, which is what we're covering. And we're leading towards conversion here. But essentially, any email sequence in general is going to have to do with three things. It's going to have to do with, and we could break this down into 12 things, but I'm making this simple because, you know, this is a 45-minute podcast. Is we're going to be looking at education, testimonials, and calls to action, or education, social proof, and calls to action. So we're going to find a mix of those three food groups and feed them to the process. So it's not just going to be like, here's a cool article you can learn from. Here's a cool article you can learn from. Here's a cool article you can learn. That kind of gets boring, and it's not necessary. Most of the time, it's also not, here's somebody else that loves us and what they have to say. Here's someone else that loves us and here's what they have to say. People generally, in order to buy, I kind of like general best practices is to include both. Not only here's something that's immediately helpful for you, but here's proof that other people have gained a lot from our service and product. So both of those are imperative. And then, of course, our call to action should also be relevant. So if I'm a crowdfunding consultancy, which is one of the folks that we chatted with and we've done some of our advisory level stuff with, you know, their call to action for an entrepreneur is not, you know, it's not the same as the marketing agency. Their call to action for an entrepreneur is, let's blow your product up and make sure that, when you do your Kickstarter, this gets your business to the next level. Make sure, get on an appointment with us, you know, blah, 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 blah. If you're, you know, a marketing agency, we're going to say, you know, we'll we'll seamlessly complete this project and make your agency look like a champion. And we're the easiest company to work with because we've worked with other agencies in the past. You know, make sure you catch up with us this week, and here's how you can get access to our calendar and find a time. So before/as we're doing the CTAs, which is one of the three food groups, we're also educating and providing testimonials. So you want to find a delicate mix and balance. If someone said, well, give me the mix, Dan. It kind of has to depend upon the business. That's a very strategic decision. But generally speaking, if I'm going to give you a default, go, educate and then educate/testimonial and then testimonial and then either education or testimonial and then CTA. So okay. I like to have a couple CTA. I mean, it's different per company, but those are three ingredients.
I like that. So the main ingredients for the follow-up after you're giving them the whatever they opted in for is testimonial, education, and then CTA, which is call to action to what you want them to do. So you were about to use the example for the software company, which they want you to sign up for a trial. So what would that mix be in the connecting part before we jump to the next?
Yeah, before they get, so this trial, just to be clear, this is not pay us money, this is give it a shot. So it's just try it out. I'm not sure if HubSpot actually does this. HubSpot might just ice cold
get pay us money. I think this is pay us
the
money.
Card out. Yeah, like, all right, now a company like MailChimp will do something like this. So what you could be doing in that particular case, in order to even get a free trial to happen, I think a lot of the time, just to bring this up for the folks in the audience here, a lot of the time a software company actually won't have an opt-in outside of the free trial. So MailChimp, I don't know. MailChimp might have like a MailChimp letter. I think that's just a monthly thing. It's not actually a succinct what we call yellow brick road in order to force the trial. It's just like pure content. So a lot of the time, many software companies have a just pure, it's trial or nothing, pal. Like, if you want to get emails from us, well, give this thing a shot, and then we're only going to talk to you about that. Or HubSpot, for example, where ain't no free trial on this thing. It's complicated. You're, going to buy it all. It's going to, if you're going to get in on it all, you got to throw it on the card first.
Just use us as an example, because the reality is what we're trying to sell is, people, they think of systematizing their business as the last thing they should ever do, in the sense that the whole work of systemizing your business is work itself. So we figure out the best thing to do is educate them first and give them some checklist. And so using us as an example, what do you think will be the best thing?
I just want to be frank to everybody. You run a software company and all you have is a trial to go straight in. Don't worry, I guess. Don't under it too much. But at the same time, if we're talking about your guys' situation, where it might be a little bit more relevant. So some things, a trial is like the only obvious CTA, and that's all they want to deal with, and it's in or out. Other folks might have some kind of other drip and feed that'll get them into the trial. So what we could do there is we could speak to, what is it that you're interested in? So for Sweetie Process, I'll riff for just half a second here. We'll keep it brief. But, what are some of the categories of folks that want to get in on your stuff? What do they want to get out of it? What are they there for? What kind of people are they? Give me a little bit of a brief as to the types of the folks who buy your thing.
Okay, so with most CEOs that own the company, the COOs, the chief operating officers, and also when you talk about big companies that have multiple departments, like the heads, the managers of the departments, that's what it usually comes down to.
Okay, cool. So if I took 12 people that are paying for your software and I line them up, would most of them say, yes, I work for big corporate and I have X number of people under me and I'm a manager of blank? Or would most of them say, hey, I'm in my garage and I sell, these handmade jewelry things that I make in my base? Which generally are we working with?
So most of them will be a company that has four or more full-time in-house employees, but usually less than 100 employees.
Less than 100 employees. Okay, then that's fine. Yeah, some people go the enterprise game, some people. In that case, what you might do is you maybe for your segmentation, we could be talking about size of company, because I'm just thinking, if you're talking about departments and I have four employees, I might be like, oh, cool, that's totally not an email I give a crap. Are there different end goals people have for the Sweet Process app, or is it essentially kind of like this is what you're getting out of it? Is there like a different goal, or is it like mapping out your business and your processes is pretty much it, period? Or is it, you know, for the Fetch Notes example, again, it was, I want to manage my domestic affairs with my spouse.
Great question. So for the CEOs, I know that the main thing is they're tired of being the bottleneck, the one who is always dependent, everybody is dependent on, because they can't get anything done without them. So they want that freedom, and they want a way to literally map and, you know, and brain dump their brain on how they do their work. For the COO, what we found is that, okay, well, the CEO has all this vision of where they want to take the company, but then the CEO has to do the devil is in the details, and how do they actually do that? They need a tool to actually do that, right? And then for the managers of, you know, bigger firms that have multiple departments, well, they are the head of their departments, and, you know, hey, you're a manager, you're dealing with other managers, you want to make your own division like the shiny rock star, so they need to systematize their division.
Cool. So let's just say, and again, if you and I sat down for an hour, you know, we might figure out a whole bunch of other wacky stuff.
Yeah,
let's
just choose anyone.
Going with role or what have you. You know, if we want to do this connection thing to get them to give this software a try, what we might do if they say, I'm a manager, you know, I'm a middle manager of blank blank blank, then, you know, if that's their deal, then what we're going to educate them on is the education that's most relevant to a manager. So it's not going to be, are you tired of being a CEO and have everybody come to you as a bottleneck? We might use something similar, but it'll be, are you tired of being the manager on top and everybody asking you questions? I mean, it might just be a change of words, but all of a sudden that guy reads it and he says, this is for me. Yeah. Even though it's the same email, we just copy and paste it. A lot of these sequences, Owen, when I fork things three ways, four ways, five ways, many of the emails are templates with three words pulled out and three words stuffed in. See you later. But all of a sudden, it reads, wrote it for that guy, even though I didn't. So a lot of the time, you know, we might talk about this and word them in different ways. So, you know, are you tired of the lower level employee folks that are blah, blah, blah? You know, the middle manager will talk about those things. The testimonials that we share, you know, like Jeff Stevens. Well, what is Jeff Stevens going to be? If we have an idea testimonial that's going to make this middle manager buy, Jeff Stevens better be a darn middle manager, for crying out loud. Otherwise, we're not giving them the most relevant testimonials. Here's how other middle managers have used our blank. So the education videos, the education articles, the wording and the subject line, the wording and the first paragraphs, the use cases and testimonials are going to be exactly what's relevant to this guy. The problems he's going to run into in day-to-day life, CEO-wise, if we don't know the size of the company, we're going to say leader of the company, then we're going to talk about, you know, man on top type of stuff. You know, you know, like, you really want to grow and scale, or you really want to free up your time, or you really want to, you know, all the problems that CEOs run into. And you'll have guys that are running small, mid-sized companies that say something like, you know it's under 100, so you could have a guy running a 50-person company or running a 4-person company. The size of company, we can kind of vary it, but it's all under 100. You say something like, man, you know, before implementing Suite Plus, our systems, you know, meeting with managers was reiterating the same things over and over, and then they'd have the same problem trickling down, and, you know, by implementing this, blank, blah, blank, blah, blah, blank, blah, blank. And it's going to be a CEO talking about this. And it's going to be like, you know, this is the CEO's choice for a blah, 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 blah kind of software. So the trial is, you know, a busy CEO needs, you know, this. And the education and the testimonials all fit to that CTA that speak to the CTO, that speak to the middle manager, that speak to whoever else would purchase what you have. So we're connecting with both problems, education, benefits, and specific calls to action that appeal to those that tie to who that guy is or what we know about him.
So now you're about to talk about the converting part of your framework.
Yeah. So, okay, so when we talk about conversion, generally speaking, at this point, we're talking about what are those, remember I said call to action being part of kind of these food groups that we're providing in our automated marketing. And we're talking about email now, but bear in mind you could do this with direct mail, phone, whatever. But if we're talking about a call to action in email, just to make things simple, you know, what is the text for that CTA and what is the click-through rate on that email? So how are we coaxing that click? How are we framing that benefit? How are we wording what this is? How are we getting the people to this page? How can we get more eyeballs on our appointment or our sales? So that's a very big question. So being able to split test those emails, split test those calls to action, split test the values and benefits we're appealing to is an important thing. So if we're talking about, you know, a baby, you know, supply company and e-commerce, you know, is the first CTA a coupon code to, you know, the gender section of blank if they say they have a boy, or is the CTA you know, like the deal of the week that we run, and maybe that's going to end up getting the credit card out first. So we want as quick to purchase as possible, generally, in a lot of e-com scenarios. You know, is that going to be actually what shakes the card out first? So we might test different initial offers, different initial calls to action. Another factor here is not just the stuff in the email, but the stuff on the page. In other words, are we testing our e-commerce kind of checkout flow? Do we have an email sequence that says, hey, Mary, I know you put, you know, blank product in your cart, and it looks like, shucks, you might have left it behind there. I didn't know if something had happened. You still have your coupon code. Make sure you enter it and go right back. So do we have two or three emails to do kind of cart abandonment? Can we deal with that? Can we ensure conversion by remarketing? Is that in place? If no, then we might have a problem. Similarly speaking, if we have a multi-phase appointment setting form, in other words, you know, you enter name and email or something, and then you click a calendar date, and then you do something. There's a lot of these apps that are multi-phasic. Then if they fill out the first phase but not the others, like, hey, Billy, looks like you were looking to set up an appointment, but you might have missed the time clock, or, you know, maybe it didn't pan out well. Just to let you know, the time on our calendar actually automatically calibrates to the time zone you're in. So don't worry about being confused with that. We're here in Eastern Standard, but any of the times that are open are just as they are in your own calendar. So check it out now and pick the one that's best. Boom. You know, are we doing remarketing like that? Also, are we split testing the actual page? So if we send to the same, you know, the same page where we're selling, you know, cribs, if we're selling baby supplies here, are we testing this cribs page? Are we testing the images? Are we testing the add to cart buttons? Are we testing, you know, even the coupon code itself? You know, which one do people like entering? Is it, you know, new parent 62? Is it, you know, spring special? You know, which one gets people to type more? So any of those factors of conversion could, should, and ought to very much be tested and calibrated. So
what
those
are the software company that was offering trial, you know, what would they be doing in this section of the framework?
Yeah, so ideally, Owen, this is ideally, right? So ideally, these guys, and this goes not just for software, but for anybody, ought to have, frankly, a separate sales page depending on the core benefit, the role, whatever your core front-end segmentation is. So the CEO sales page is going to have headlines that call out a CTO. It's going to have bullet points that call out a CEO. It's going to have testimonials that call out a CEO right on the sales page. So we're talking about conversion. It's not like, cool, we talk relevantly to them in email, then we send them to a generic sales page like a bunch of dummies. Instead of doing that, what we ought to be doing is we ought to be creating, because it's not 50 sales pages here. We're talking about three variations.
Yeah.
We should be altering. And even if all we do is tweak headline and tweak the testimonials, then people get the feeling of what? This is for me, which is what you and I were talking about. So if we're looking to convert someone from a trial to an actual buyer, the okay, you know, your trial's up, or okay, you can buy now, or okay, get the premium version, that text should be calibrated inside the emails, but the page they land on should be talking right to a middle manager, right to a CEO, and we should be communicating that right on the page, and then we should be split testing that page with different headlines and different testimonials and making sure we can kind of get those numbers up. But that's one way that you would do it in a software example.
I like that. And so during the pre-interview, you mentioned some of the best ways to get conversion, and I think you already mentioned how education, mixing that with testimonials and CTA, that goes in the email sequence. But I think one of the things that you mentioned during the pre-interview is taking multiple swings at conversion. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, man. Oh, wow. I'm actually really excited to talk about this, and I'm surprised I don't talk about this more on interviews, but this is such a big factor for me. So, let's say you're an accountant or something. I have no idea. I'm just using a random example. And people download a white paper, whatever the case may be, and you're aiming to get them on an appointment so that you can become their CPA. They can pay you every month, or, you know, for your tax returns or whatever the case may be. What most people do is they say, okay, you know, I'll write 4 or 5 emails, and then everybody will get those 4 or 5 emails, and then in the end, I'll actually ask them for an appointment, and some of them will book an appointment. Sweet. Okay, great. So they write, you know, 4 or 5 emails. For me, unless you're like a really advanced email marketer that's going to then do a lot of personal categorization and segmentation after that, which is almost never the case because that takes so much attention, it's ridiculous, I highly recommend a longer sequence that oscillates between periods of, hey, pal, time to convert, and periods of education slash testimonials. So not just having, you know, a lot of people say, okay, we'll have 7 emails, and the last one will be like, hey, get in on this new special. Make sure you get in on an appointment. You know, look forward to talking to you soon. And people are sitting there cracking their knuckles like, oh, man, they're going to get email number 7, and I'll get them. But it ain't really like that. Maybe email number 7, they were in Bora Bora. Or maybe email number 7, your subject line was junk, or it just didn't appeal to them. What we ought to be doing, instead of saying, okay, well, I get... give up after emails, you know, the only emails I'm going to send this person is our monthly broadcast of what we did that month. Well, that's a really terrible strategy for conversion, to be honest with you. So what people ought to be doing in nearly all cases where people have short front-end sequences is lengthening those and appealing to different benefits, defeating different objections, and going for a CTA again. So if we're talking about a parent in an e-commerce situation, then, you know, maybe the initial thing is a coupon code and then a gender-specific series of offers. Maybe the next one is like, you know, the offer of the month we send them over to. And then we go back to educating. We go back to kind of parent, you know, time and money saving tips. We go back into some other testimonials and fun stories. We go back into, you know, other education and useful stuff for house cleaning.
So let me see if I get this right, because I want to make sure the listener gets this too. So if we're focusing on a specific role on the software example now, and we chose the CEO role, right? And then we went through a series of a sequence of emails with testimonials and benefits and all that, and then also a call to action for the CEO. But we focused on one benefit throughout this whole period, right? No longer being the bottleneck in your business.
If
we go to that sequence and they don't convert on that, maybe the next thing to do is, well, we still focus on the CEO because we know that's the person who's receiving this email. Now let's look at the next benefit, which might be, making more money. Ooh, maybe that's why they want to systematize their business and follow a series of sequences on that.
Yes.
That's what you're saying, basically, by multiple ways
totally.
To convert them.
Multiple swings. So, okay, you know what? And now that's not to say that your first CTA has to only focus on one benefit, but generally your initial sequence has kind of a sort of flavor. You know, you're appealing to you should be appealing to the benefit that gets you the most buyers. So if you're talking to your customers, if you're a good marketer, then you should know what makes CEOs push the buy button. And really, that core benefit is generally, as a best practice, the best one to go for a first swing. However, in the following emails, you might go into a different benefit. Like you said, we might talk about making money. We might talk about relieving stress. Who knows? But we could also go into explicit objection beater emails. Jeremy Stevens ran this, you know, shoe company for, you know, 9 years and never systematized anything, you know, because he had good managers. And the reason he, you know, didn't want to do it is because he thought it was much time. And here's what Jeremy has to say, you know, and Jeremy says something like, man, you know, I always thought it was just going to take way too much time and this really wouldn't pan off. And why don't I just go make more shoes and sell them? But at the end of the day, Sweet Process made this process so darn easy for me that, you know, in an afternoon riding shotgun in the car with my wife to a friend's wedding, I had half of my business automated by the time I got back. And man, this was amazing because it was already in a checklisted format. And to be frank, the bottleneck for me was the time taking thing, but there's nothing like this for saving that time. And now I'm freed up with so much more time at work and I can't believe I didn't do it earlier. So that's beating a specific objection. Now, the question is, Owen, what objections do you want to beat? And the answer is the ones that are most common. So we want to start fighting the ones that are the most common. We don't want to pull something out of our butt if we don't, you know, have some idea that the customer actually cares about that. So we might have our second swing, our education testimonial sequence after our initial real push for that time to go premium push. Is now focusing on a different benefit, a different objection, a different set of testimonials, and then we'll go in for another overt swing later on.
Let the listener know so that they don't feel like overwhelmed with this, it's an ongoing process. What I'm getting from this is an ongoing process. So you start with the one that comes top to mind first and give them the, you know, education and the testimonials around that, you know, one that comes top to mind, and then keep adding all these additional sequences to it, right? You keep adding and keep adding.
Yep. And you know, there's some kind of a threshold. I mean, some people have sequences that go on forever. Other people, you know, have sequences that are a month long or what have you. You know, the general the general phase I am to push for folks, no matter what they're trying to sell or what they're trying to encourage with their emails, is take multiple swings. You know, a minimum of three swings. Play baseball with your front end sequences. If you have seven emails and you appeal to this one benefit and you try to take a swing, if all you do, and to be honest, you know, I almost hate to say it, but there's so many easy plug and play stuff with the CLV Boost business. I could literally have a business where this is what I do. People pay me. I do an assessment. You know, we get X thousand dollars. And we come in, and then we say, all right, great. Hey, you know, thanks for paying us. And, you know, what I'm going to have you do is your front-end sequence that's three emails long, we're going to lengthen that to 23, and here's the different benefits we're going to appeal to, and here's the calls to action and the sales pages that are going to go with them. You know, pretty much write something similar to what you have, and here's where we're going to change up the initial subject lines and make this longer, and, you know, call me in 3 months. If you haven't made more money, I'll give you all your money back. I could literally run a business right off of that, have short coffee meetings with people, and just run away, and people would make more money. The fact of the matter is most people are blatantly leaving money on the table by not taking multiple swings, and I could very easily encourage any business tuning in to do exactly that. I don't care if you're the best copywriter in the world or not. If you're getting a little bit more of an opportunity to get in front of somebody and you're now converting 2, 3, 4, 8% more people that go through your chain, guess what that looks like in your bottom line at the end of 12 months?
Wow, that's awesome. And so let's jump right into, because we're about to round up the interview, so let's jump right into the circulating and retention engagement part of the framework.
Sure, yeah. So now we're talking about sort of longer-term communication. So you can make your automated chains as long as you want. You can have all these behavioral triggers and interesting things that, you know, we could go on to for days. But really one of the more important components, and again, another factor of the email game that often is just blatantly neglected, sort of newsletter and ongoing circulation aspect. So a lot of people say, okay, well, you know, once they end the automated sequence, I send out an email every month or ever talking about what we did that month, and there's no real call to action. What I like to encourage here, Owen, is the following. You know, what do we know about these subscribers, and can we make our regular communication consistent to them? So let's use the software example because we're on a roll here. Yeah. If we've got folks that are paying month to month for software, should those emails have a call to action at the bottom to get them to buy the software? No, we would be what we call idiots. Instead of doing that, no, really. So instead of doing that, what we need to be doing is have the subtlety, Owen. It can't be overt, but the subtle CTA and the subtle purpose behind the educating and behind the connection and all of that and making sure open rates are high are to encourage that usership, to encourage that usage, and to even up that usage if it makes sense. So what we're going to be doing in a kind of software as a service deal is we're going to be encouraging usage, and maybe our another CTA we could do, Owen, is kind of a referral prize. Now, are we going to do a referral prize for someone that's never signed up for a trial? Of freaking course not. Yeah. But are we going to do a referral prize for someone that's paying? Yes. So now those monthly newsletters, all we do is we take the same monthly newsletter. We, you know, use different blog links in each one to be relevant to our groups. We use a different headline, our subject line. And we do a slightly different CTA at the bottom. Could be a very soft CTA, but we do a slightly different CTA. And now these emails become something that's a driver of revenue, not something that we just do to say, oh, yes, we have a monthly newsletter. We're so professional. This becomes something that every month drives consistent sales and encourages customer lifetime value.
And let me see if I can get that right. So the person now, in this case, in the software example, they've signed up for the trial and they've even become a customer. But because they're on my email list and they're receiving my email for my blog, instead of just sending them the same thing someone else who has not, the CTA, which is the call to action at the bottom of the email, instead of it being the same as somebody who has not signed up for a trial, the thing might just be, okay, showing them more features that they have not yet used because they're a customer. Or because they're a customer, showing them how they can refer other people. So basically trying to drive them down even more stages of the funnel past them just being the customer at this point.
Yep. We're encouraging, again, my whole business, and the only reason that we have a consultancy and are getting paid from, you know, companies in these different categories is because we're increasing customer lifetime value. How much money do you make per prospect and how many prospects do you get? Unless I increase those things, you know, we don't really get to get paid for this particular business. It's one of many that I'm running, but for this particular business. So with that being said, yes, you're circulating emails. They must do that. They must move people farther down the customer life cycle to encourage referrals and other things along those lines. Another example, Owen, in the software as a service business is, you know, some folks, and not everybody, but, you know, some folks do, I'm working with a company now, they're in the toll-free number business. So they have thousands of small businesses and medium-sized businesses and even large companies like, you know, news broadcasters and things like that, big companies that use their vanity numbers. And what they like to do, and that what I'm working with them on right now, is a call to action sequence that's going to encourage current monthly payers or annual payers to kind of cash out for like a 4-year, 3-year deal. So that's more, that's a CTA to a monthly payer or an annual payer for an upfront money pump to save money in the long term. So that's a potential CTA. Are you going to do that CTA for someone that's never bought a vanity number from you? Of course not. But you know, you certainly wouldn't say it in the same way. You certainly wouldn't say, hey, now that you're a current valued customer, we're doing this special deal for our current customer. You wouldn't say that to a guy that isn't your customer. It would have to be framed in an entirely different way. But one of the ways that they're going to monetize their ongoing communication, the game plan is, now I'm building a sequence similar to this right now, is their regular communication to these folks is going to encourage this upsell level. So again, we're moving them farther down the path. We're making this thing a needle mover for really kind of jumping that bottom line rev that we can get from any given customer. So one of many examples.
Wow. And so rounding up the interview, so how would you, I mean, this has been awesome, and I know the listener's mind is blowing and they want to just go and start implementing stuff at this point. But what would you say, you know, is the very next step that, you know, someone who has listened to the interview up to this point should take in order to get started with implementing your process for email marketing?
Yeah, for sure. So what they ought to do is really kind of think about and consider what the major segments that they're speaking to really are. Because we're not going to really be able to tailor messaging and call and build out illustrious sequences and drive a lot more money unless we know how we're breaking up our messaging to be more relevant, to connect better ultimately with the folks that we are speaking to in the first place. So having that strategic sit down with yourself and saying, okay, if I was going to break up all my front-end prospects into one of 3 to 7 categories, how could I boil that down and distill it so that I can speak to them very specifically, not only in the front-end sequence, but also in the back-end when we're in circulation mode? How can I make sure these emails are most relevant to them? And, you know, take half an hour, take a cup of coffee, write down all the different variations, and let's try to make the most relevant clumps of 3 to 7 so that we can get front-end segmentation set up. So if there's one phase I would encourage, it's not, don't segment without thinking. It's a very strategic process. You know, sit down with your employees, sit down with your managers, sit down by yourself, whatever's going to yield the best results for you, grab a cup of coffee, and, you know, do some real due diligence here and come up with something you feel really confident with, and then let's build from that base. So the first thing folks out there have to do is make that important segmentation decision for them, and then that's the framework for everything else.
Awesome. And two more questions before we end it. What books do you suggest the reader, you know, check? A better way of answering the question is, what books have influenced this way of thinking for you, and why?
Yeah. Influence my marketing. You know, that's an awful good question. To be frank, there really aren't that many great resources on email marketing specifically. But in terms of books that have definitely helped me with copywriting and appealing to the benefits that customers, you know, would gain from increasing click-through rates and you know, effectiveness of sales letters and the whole copywriting game that's invariably a part of all of this, including segmentation, is really the work of Dan Kennedy. So I've read a ton of different Dan Kennedy material, and I could talk about a whole bunch of different factors here. But copywriting is sort of seen as this antiquated skill of people that used to, you know, put mailers in the mail and you know, have people send them back. But ultimately, it matters as much, if not more, in your automated emails because those will work for you forever. So reading, you know, a basic book by Kennedy, for example, that might be a great place for folks out there to start would be, you know, Dan. If you just Google Dan Kennedy book on sales letters. It's something like, you know, the bulletproof plan for writing a sales letter, but it's absolutely spot on for what you got to know to encourage action and clicks and opens, whether you talk about email, you know, whether you're sending stuff in the mail. It's just copywriting fundamentals I think everyone could learn from.
Copywriting fundamentals from Dan Kennedy. The listeners should just Google Dan Kennedy and find books on copywriting from
him. Good place to start, for sure.
Any books on psychology that might help?
Man, psychology. You know, to be honest, I mean, I'm a psychology guy, as a lot of people know. I did my whole master's thing at UPenn and all that. But to be frank, say, I don't have any, like, you know, Freud ain't really going to cut it that much. I would really emphasize that folks tune into Sharp Marketer. So another place to learn from it, just to give you something, Owen, because I want to make sure I'm providing here, is I really like Neil Patel's blog, which is called quicksprout.com. Neil Patel's a very sharp marketer. He's got both internet marketing and copywriting chops, and he runs a couple software companies. So he really kind of has both sides of the coin there. I think he has a good balance. And he bridges the gap for newbies very well. So in terms of understanding, you know, general marketing tenets and principles, that's another guy that I have a lot of respect for. We've actually been able to interview him, luckily enough, and very, very sharp. So if folks want to learn, you know, from a different perspective than Kennedy and kind of get a gist of more kind of electronic marketing stuff, I think Neil is a perfect place for a newbie to start. And I read him myself.
Awesome. So what's the best way for the listener to connect with you? And thank you for doing this interview.
Yeah, sure. If folks have gained anything from this at all, I always like you. I know you called me out on it in the beginning. I talk really quick because I want to make sure I'm able to, you know, deliver as much as I can here and make this a valuable event for folks. But if they want to tune in to more and learn more from me, clvboost.com is the website. And the way you get in touch is in the contact form at the bottom. But the other thing with the contact form is a brief white paper and a couple videos that we actually sent out right off the bat. They go into the nitty-gritty of this. So if people want kind of the, you know, plug-and-play templates for segmentation, a plug-and-play methodology for sequencing an email, a, you know, really kind of go-to bread-and-butter strategy for newsletters that's probably making more money than, you know, whatever your average folks are out there doing using MailChimp or whatever, then the easiest way to get a hold of those resources is at clvboost.com. Just fill out the form at the bottom. And for the folks that want to work with us, again, generally we're working with people with existing businesses, not necessarily kind of IM newbies or anything along those lines. We're kind of working with real companies, but folks who want to take stuff to the next level, they can reach out through that form at the bottom as well. But if nothing else, it's some great resources there. And if people want to connect, that's the place to do it, clvboost.com.
Awesome. And so a final question for you, is there a question that you were wishing I asked you during the interview that I didn't ask? And if so, no, pose the question and the answer.
Oh, man. Wow. Shucks. Yeah, I wish you asked my favorite food, Owen.
Okay, what's your favorite food?
It's sushi, man. It's sushi.
I love sushi myself, too. I also like Korean food, too. Have you tried Korean food?
I would have enjoyed having a conversation about raw salmon with you, but instead we talked about markets. I'm still pretty happy about it on the aggregate.
That's good. And when you can, try Korean barbecue, too, bulgogi and all that. So that's good stuff.
I'll jot that one down. I'll expand my culinary horizons. Thanks, man.
And so the listener to you now, I'm speaking to you, the listener who's been listening all the way to this point. If you enjoyed this interview, I want you to go ahead and leave us a positive review on iTunes. To do that, go to sweetprocess.com/iTunes. The reason to leave a positive review is because the more reviews you leave on the podcast about the show or that you liked it, other people will come ahead and listen to the interview because they read your review and more eyeballs to the show or listeners to the show. And that also inspires us to go out there and get guests like Daniel to come on here and break down, in this case now, his email marketing process. So if you know other entrepreneurs that might benefit from this interview, feel free to share the interview with them. And finally, if you are at that point in your business where you're tired of being the bottleneck in your business and want to systematize how you get stuff done, sign up for a free 14-day trial of Sweet Process. Daniel, thanks for doing it, for being my guest on the show.
Owen, thanks very much for having me, brother. It was a pleasure.
And we're done.
Before you go, we want to leave you with a free gift. Get your free systemization checklist. Avoid wasting valuable time documenting procedures for the wrong tasks. Get it right the first time with the systemization checklist. Download the checklist by going to sweetprocess.com/checklist.